Dear Vinod, welcome in the VU Campus Radio studio here at Studentendok in the main building of the VU at the Boelelaan. We're actually one story beneath what will soon be your old office, if I'm correct. And recently you shared the news that you will be leaving us. You've been appointed president of the executive board of the University of Twente. Congratulations, Vinod.
Thank you very much. Actually, two stories.
Two stories. Okay. So how does that feel?
Look, it's the beginning of a new adventure. So it's exciting, but it's also mixed because I leave behind a university that's sort of started to occupy a place in my heart.
Yeah. And likewise, I mean, you have a place in ours. So let's have a talk about that, about past, present, future, and about these goodbyes. Let me start with a question I asked around with some students, some colleagues, and I said, what do you want to know about Vinod? I mean, this is your chance, the final thing you really want to know. And people said, what does a Rector Magnificus actually do? Some people think you're the boss of the university. Yeah. And a former colleague of yours, Karel Stoker from Leiden, once said that a rector is the face of a university. The people that I spoke said he's not the face of the university, he is the heart of our university. So what is your view on what the rector job is?
Yeah. So I'm definitely not the boss of the university, because you can't really be the boss. You know, it's a community. Yeah. So and as a board, you know, you also work together. So, but thinking about am I the face of the university or the heart of the university? Both of those, but actually, the thing that comes the closest to what the Rector Magnificus really is the conscience of the university.
So what does that mean?
You know, the rector stands for the academy, yeah, for education and research, for all of the values that you cherish in academics, the openness, the freedom to be able to take positions which may be, you know, sometimes disputed, but to make sure that you also actually give the room within the university to actually have that dialogue and that debate based on facts. And, you know, you can fillet each other respectfully, but based on facts. And that's what the rector does, is make sure that that environment is cherished.
So very important function, a conscience in these times. We'll get back to that. I read that when you got started as Rector Magnificus here at the VU, you gave yourself an assignment, and that assignment was listen. Listen to members of the academic community and find out about their struggles, their ideas. What insights has this attitude towards your work brought you?
I think what you get to learn is you learn how the organization ticks, because what I said was this is a community, and you have to understand what the dynamics of the community are. And every community is different, and the VU is special in its own way, and it's not the same as any other university community. Of course, there are similarities, but it has its own schmool, and you have to learn that. And you have to figure out what it is, and you have to make it your own. And I think listening helped me do that, to try to really understand, what kind of blood is flowing in the veins and arteries here, and what are people worried about, and what are people excited about, what are people proud of. And that helps you, certainly for me, coming from outside. I had very little connection with the VU. I wasn't educated here. I haven't worked here. Then you really need to take the time to understand the place. And that's what it brought me. And it was great. You know, you get to really meet a number of people. I often compare universities to zoos, with lots of exotic animals in it. And you need to sort of, you know, figure it out. And you have to figure out, okay, what do you have here? And it's been an absolute voyage of discovery.
I love that. The idea of a zoo. I love that. Yeah. Okay. Can I steal that from you?
Absolutely.
That's wonderful. You were the first Rector Magnificus in the Netherlands with a migration background. You grew up in New Delhi, born in Madras. You lived in England, Germany, the States. You are a true global citizen. So how does your background influence your work here at VU?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I mean, I was the first anything in academic, you know, in the higher ranks of Dutch academia, I think, with I call it the tint, you know, with a permanent suntan. But I think more than that, look, I think we're all sort of the product of our experiences. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the fact that I grew up in India and then have lived all over the world, you know, that's contributed to my my baggage, my set of experiences, and I bring all of that with me. Yeah, and in a sense, I think, you know, I grew up in a school with 15 religions in my class, and 30 different languages, and they were all Indian languages, but there were 30 different languages. You know, so you learn to, you know, to sort of deal with the differences. And I think that's something that's always stayed with me. And then when you come to an institution like this, which is also so diverse, it only helps in sort of understanding, I've kind of seen that before. And I think that's a very valuable, set of baggage to take with you.
Yeah, especially in a diverse community like the VU. Yeah. You already mentioned it, and I know you to be a man that considers diversity of great importance for the academic community. Could you elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah, look, I mean, the thing is, I consider diversity to be a strength, period, you know, and whether it's in society or in your university community or anywhere else, I think you can absolutely use the diversity, and diversity comes in many forms, of course. You know, I mean, for a lot of what we read in the newspapers, it's about things that are visible. Mm-hmm. You know, it's gender or color, but there's so much more. You know, there's diversity of ideas, there's diversity of perspectives, there's all sorts of other things. Yeah, I mean, I mentioned in my class I had, you know, 15 religions. We have that here as well. We have really everything. All of those things, I mean, those are not obvious. You don't necessarily see it. But they all contribute. And I think being aware of that and being aware of the fact that this is actually a strength, and that's what mm-hmm. we try to do with this notion of the mixed classroom at the VU, is to say it's not a challenge. It may be a challenge, mm-hmm. but it's actually a strength, so let's use it. Yeah, and let's try to learn from each other. And because when you go out, and I tell the students, you're going to get out of here, you're going to graduate, and you're going to go into a job, you're not going to be able to choose your team.
No.
You're going to be confronted with it. So I'd rather that you actually learn how to deal with that here when you're studying, mm-hmm. than to have to go out and reinvent the wheel in another situation. So I really think that we can do a lot more with that in terms of accepting the fact that diversity is not threatening. Mm-hmm. It is essentially a strength, and that we can become a better university just by embracing that diversity.
Yeah. And what would be your response to people that say, well, diversity is also a source of conflict?
Sure. But the role of a university is to actually sit around and say, okay, we accept that, but let's have a dialogue about that and discuss it, and we can agree to disagree.
Yeah.
But you need to have a fact-based discussion about what it is and what it isn't.
Yeah.
And that's what we should be doing.
Exactly. I'm getting sentimental here right now because we're going to miss this. So I'm glad we're doing this recording. So we have that once... Once you will be gone in September. Now, let's elaborate a bit on that position of conflict. The university is a place of research. It's a place of education and a free debate. And over the past year, we've seen that science is under a lot of pressure. Facts and opinion have been blurring. a lot. What do you consider the role of specific our university in all of this, in this turmoil?
Look, I think the academy in general has to stand up for the fact that, you know, you have to be having discussions based on facts. Yeah. And that's our role. And that's the role of a university, and that's the role of this university. Yeah. We don't, you know, you can have an opinion, but that's a, and everybody's entitled to an opinion, but you can't let the opinions rule over facts that are available. And it's our responsibility to actually go out looking for the facts. Mm-hmm. That's what we do in research. Yeah. It's our responsibility to, and, you know, there's no absolute truth in that sense. You know, this is always a process, yeah, and it's also the role of scientists and academicians to say, okay, this is what we know now, and to continue to search for, you know, more facts, yeah, and then you keep updating your theories and your hypotheses based on the experiments that you do and the facts that you garner.
Yeah.
It's a living thing. But you have to keep doing it.
Yeah.
And if you stop looking for it, then you're going to get stuck in, you know, you're not going to progress. So I think what we have to do is to continue to keep searching for the facts.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that we have to do, and that's a responsibility that we have, is to talk about the facts, to present the facts, and not just keep them for ourselves. I mean, in a sense, you know, I keep saying, open the Laukamar. But you can't be living in your own bubble. Yeah, it's also our responsibility to be presenting the results that we are, you know, gathering from our research to the wider world. And it's not just your scientific peers, but also to society. Yeah. Because it's a two-way street. We can also get inspired by the questions and the opinions. Mm-hmm. That may be living out there,
yeah.
And basically say, hey, wait a minute, it's actually a lot more nuanced than that, yeah? And here are the facts, yeah? We have a role to play in this dialogue, and that's what we have to absolutely keep in the top of our minds and not lose sight of.
And do you as a rector have a specific role in that debate between facts and opinions?
Look, yeah, in the sense that, you know, if we start hearing things, opinions which are not based on facts, then it's also my responsibility, but also responsibility of my colleagues, for example, to stand up and take a stand.
Yeah. Yeah?
And we've done that before on various things. Yeah. And we're just going, wait a minute, this discussion is degenerating into an exchange of opinions rather than being based on facts. So you know, from the standpoint of saying that the rector is the conscience of the university, we need to stand up and say, hey, here are the facts. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
But being a conscience also means accepting and admitting when you're wrong and saying, oh yeah, we weren't quite right there. Yeah, and then to have that open, transparent discussion also to show how science or academics or research is self-correcting and can move on. Yeah? Mm-hmm. And it's a search. Yeah? It's really an adventure of discovery. And you come across things and you have to keep adapting.
Yeah, yeah. And I noticed that when I see you moving around these buildings, that you are often in very close contact with students. I mean, the past year's obviously been different due to COVID-19, but perhaps this is my view, my interpretation, but you seem to address them, students, even first-year students, as a member of that academic community and also creators of these facts. Is that you being the conscious and moving students towards their role within this academic community?
I hadn't quite thought of it that way, but the way I look at it is that the students are the beating heart of our community. You know, I mean, that's why we're here. Yeah, I mean, if they weren't here, we could shut up shop.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I think, and they're the future.
Mm-hmm.
So they're the folks that we have to concentrate on, and they're the ones we have to focus on. And I get so inspired by the students every day. And I think as a rector, you have to be in contact with the students, because these are the folks you're doing it for, and these are the folks who come up actually sometimes with the most brilliant ideas, where you say, oh, if we do that, we're going to be a better university.
Yeah, that's so cool. Let's look back on your years here at VU. Could you name me, it's probably really hard to name one, but is there an absolute highlight or something that you're very proud of?
Yeah. You know, the thing is that there's probably not one thing that I can say, you know, this is what I accomplished. Because the thing is, you don't accomplish things individually as well. I mean, you do it as a community. Yeah. You're a family. Yeah. So what have we accomplished together? I remember at some point, I think I said, you know, one of the things, one of my dreams would be to sort of try to change the smell of the place. Yeah. And I think we've done that to some extent. Yeah. It's an ongoing process. Yeah. You don't just change the smell of the place overnight. But there have been many steps.
What do you mean when you say yeah,
when you
change
say
the
that,
smell of
said, you know, you say, at one point I said, I referred to a speech that was given by a guy called Sumantra Ghoshal. And he basically says, you know, I compare, and he used to be a professor, he's passed away now. He was a professor at INSEAD in Fontainebleau. And he says, but he's from India. And he says, you know, and the comparison he was making was to Calcutta, yeah, in the height of summer, you know, 45 degrees. And he says, you know, I'm out there on the streets and the heat, it just sort of sucks the energy out of me. Mm-hmm. And he compared it to the forests of Fontainebleau, and he says, you know, as I take a walk into the woods out there, I get a spring in my step, yeah? So actually what I want to do, so you know, that's the comparison. I said, okay, so what you really want to do is you want to get away from bureaucracy and control to trust, and you want to change the smell of the place in that sense, so that you go away from an energy-sucking environment, yeah, to something that gives you a spring in your step. So that's what I meant when I said I wanted to change the smell of the place. And I think we've made steps to do that. And you do that, you know, with the students, you do that. With the academic staff, you do that. With the support staff, with the whole community together. And there are so many things that you know, that go towards making that puzzle. We can think about, you know, what we call the institutional quality, educational quality things, you know, the Instellingsstutskwaliteitszorg, as they call it. We've gone through two of those tests successfully, but that's also a community effort, yeah, and that's one of the things that I'm very proud about. But there's so many other things, yeah, and it's not a highlight of my tenure, it's a highlight of what the community has achieved in the last 6 years, and that's great.
And looking back, I mean, this is a very positive story, but I'm sure that you must have had some hard times.
There's been lots of hard times. You know, you make mistakes every day and you fail every day. And I think if there's any one thing that you know, I say, wow, really have been great if we had gotten that.
Yeah.
And that was actually in the beginning of my my tenure here. There was a, you know, a strong collaboration between the VU and the UvA, particularly the science faculties. And there was a really ambitious plan to sort of bring them together.
Yeah, I remember.
That didn't go through. Mm. Yeah. And that is that is a regret that I have. Mm. Because I think, again, from a community perspective, I think what that would have done would have actually placed the in those disciplines, they would have made Amsterdam actually a focus point that would be able to compete with anywhere else in the world.
Yeah. So it's a combination, combining strength.
Yeah, it's combining strengths. But you know what? That doesn't mean that we still don't collaborate. We do. It's just not formalized in the way that we had thought about then. So that's a regret. And there's other things, but maybe that's the one big one where I say, you know, that would have really transformed the landscape.
And what do you think you personally, as Vinod, brought to this university?
Yeah, it's really hard to say what you bring. I guess you bring yourself. And I think that I think has been the most so sort of accessibility. You know, you're accessible to your students and staff, and I've been deeply interested in what they do. I mean, as I said, you know, I came from outside, and I'm trained as an engineer and an applied physicist, and you know, I get to deal with the theologians, as you said, or folks from the social sciences, and so for me, it was actually also really a feast, to dive into these disciplines and sort of try to figure out how you know these exotic species in this zoo, coexist with the others, and so that's been great fun. Yeah,
that's wonderful. Yeah. Coming from your place with your background, I understand that you call them exotic, and I think you're very right.
But that's been great fun too, and the thing is, you know, that's what makes it such a learning experience. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that you say, wow, oh. You could look at it like that, and that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been a learning journey for you as well.
Oh, it's been great. Okay. Yeah. It's been a fantastic learning experience.
Okay. I have one more question for you. Any words of advice, inspiration, or guidance? Something you want to leave behind?
Yeah. You know, those are famous last words.
Right? Yeah. Kind of. It makes it.
But you know what I would
heavy.
Say? I brought this book with me. It's a book by Charlie McKeesey, and it's called The Boy, the Mole, the Fox, and the Horse.
Yeah.
I can absolutely recommend everybody in the field to have a look at this. And there are some messages out here which are brilliant.
Okay.
And I read, for example, most of the old moles I know wish they had listened less to their fears and more to their dreams. And then the mole asked the boy, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" "Kind," says the boy.
Oh.
I think it all fits with what we should be doing as a university.
It's a beautiful book. It's full of pictures and it's sort of handwritten.
I absolutely warmly recommend it.
Okay.
"What is the bravest thing you've ever said?" asked the boy. "Help," said the horse. "Asking for help isn't giving up," said the horse. "It's refusing to give up." Those are messages that I think I would like to leave behind. And one final thing. "Is your glass half empty or half full?" asked the mole. "I think I'm grateful to have a glass," said the boy.
It's beautiful, Vinod. Thank you so much. We're going to wrap this up, and I want to wish you the best of luck in your new job, and don't be a stranger. Hang out here every now and then.
I think I will be doing that.
That's good, because you got some friends over here.
I got some friends here. Thank you.
Thank you. Food Campus Radio.